From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. Suicide is the third leading cause of death for Americans aged 15 to 24, and the 10th leading cause of death for Americans of all ages. The recent suicide of comedian Robin Williams has sparked conversations about suicide, everywhere from the Twitter sphere to the halls of Congress. But how well is suicide really understood? We'll explore perceptions of suicide, suicide prevention, grieving the loss of a loved one who's taken their own life, and where to turn for help here in Southwest Florida. Plus, Fort Myers' Dunbar community hasn't always had the best reputation, but it is known for the number of athletes it's produced that go on to play professionally in the NFL, including Hall of Famer Deion Sanders. We'll hear from reporter and author David Dorsey, who explores the Dunbar football connection in his new book, Fourth Down in Dunbar. First, this news.
This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Topher Forges. Fort Myers' Dunbar community is a predominantly minority neighborhood that's literally on the other side of the railroad tracks. It's Fort Myers' inner city, but it's also the starting point of about two dozen professional football players. News Press sports writer David Dorsey explores the history of football players coming out of the neighborhood in his new book, Fourth Down in Dunbar. The book starts with three young high schoolers in 1948 and traces its way to present day. It describes these players' lives, some of whom never made it to starting on the field or who were held back by problems such as drugs. But it also looks at the great successes who came out of Dunbar, including Pro Football Hall of Famer Deion Sanders. David Dorsey joins us today in the studio. Jamie German is also with us. German lived in Dunbar as a child. He would go on to play for Fort Myers High School, the University of Miami, and eventually play professionally for the Atlanta Falcons and the Cleveland Browns. Thank you both for being here today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
And you can join our conversation. Call 1-877-428-8255. That's 1-877-GCU-TALK, or send an email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org. Comment on Facebook at WGCU Public Media, or join our live Twitter conversation using the hashtag GulfCoastLive. So I want to start this conversation with David. In your research, tell us a little bit about Dunbar. What was it like at the start in the 40s, early 50s, and what is it like today?
Well, in the early 40s and the early 50s, we didn't really have the trend yet of big-time college recruiting, of coaches coming to Southwest Florida all the time. We didn't have an interstate. We didn't have FGCU. And a lot of these teams, a lot of these schools weren't integrated yet. So at that time, Robert Green, back in 1949, they used to sit underneath a banyan tree and talk about their dreams, not unlike kids do today in high school, although they're probably now they're text messaging each other. But from those three guys, Robert Green, Carl Morrison, and the late James Stevens, really started the dream of bartering their athletic talents for free education.
And what happened with them that allowed them to make those strides?
Well, they had the door open. I mean, that was really the beginning of college football. The roots were planted then of what we know college football today as, and those three were just fortunate enough to get noticed by a coach and at Allen University, a historically black college in South Carolina. And the three of them, you know, this was the early game of recruiting letters, but they didn't have rivals.com. They didn't have recruiting services then. You went by word of mouth. And I think one of their coaches had known a coach from somewhere else who had known a coach from somewhere else. And that's how word spread, and same thing within the community. Back then in the Dunbar community, if you did something bad, like let's say you stole something from your next door neighbor or something, you better make it back home before the news of that spread or you might be in trouble. So there's a small community then, and very close-knit, and everyone looked out for each other.
And Jamie, what do you remember of growing up in Dunbar?
I remember the love. I mean, the neighbors. The neighbors was able to discipline you back then. If you got in trouble or did something wrong, the neighbors was allowed to discipline. Then you got disciplined once you got back home. But it was tough trying to get out of that environment. Like Dave said, it was so segregated back then. But we were so rich in love amongst everybody there. And me growing up in the Dunbar community, I was one of the only families that really had a father and a mother in the household. So it made our life different than the neighbors that we really grew up around.
And how did you end up playing football? How did you start this path that would lead you to becoming a professional player?
Everybody in the neighborhood played sports, whether it was basketball, football, or whatnot. So when we got with other kids, we all used to go out there and just play around in the yard and play sports. And then we started to get into organized sports. And once that led to high school, it just took off from there because we saw the avenues, Deion Sanders, Richard Fain, and Donald Duck Ellis. We saw all of those guys got an opportunity to go off to school, so we used that as an avenue.
And something that David brought up that I think is one of these main themes in the book is the role model, whether it's a coach or a parent. How big of a role did that play for you, Jamie?
Role model, the role model for me was Coach Sam Sirianni, one of the local legends that passed away a few years ago. After 4 Miles High School, it was like once my mom and my dad separated, he was like a father figure to me. He actually showed me the avenues that I can take with my athletic ability to go get an education. And once the talent took over and the grades matched that, I was able to go to any school I wanted to. And that was my role model going through my high school years.
And I was wondering if you could elaborate on that as well, David. Was that a theme that just sort of made itself apparent to you as you started writing the book?
Well, yeah. What I noticed that a lot of the players who did make it to the NFL, maybe they didn't have mom and dad in the house like Jamie did for a number of years, but all the ones that didn't have dad in the house did have coach overseeing him, or even Jamie will tell you his mother was a strong woman that would keep him pointed in the right direction. So there, it wasn't just right, Jamie? I mean, it wasn't just the coaches. It'd be the women in the background too.
Absolutely, because they played the role of a father as well. I mean, because when we grew up, like I said, didn't have too many fathers in the household. So the mothers played the dad and the mother, which is a difficult task this day and age. But back then, they made it work. And you got some great kids that came out of that environment with that formula.
And you played 4 years professionally with the Atlanta Falcons. You also spent some time with the Browns. What do you credit to your success to make it professionally as a football player?
The family, just the family all around. When I say family, I mean everybody who played a part, from my mother to my uncles to my cousins to my close friends as well as my coaches. I mean, it takes a big effort from everybody to just help somebody get in the right direction. This is not easy. Becoming a professional athlete is not easy at all. So you need a lot of people in the right places at the right time to help you get there, and you got to stay right on schedule to do what you need to do to make it to that next level. It is very difficult to make it in any professional sport.
And we're talking with News Press sports writer David Dorsey about his new book, Fourth Down in Dunbar, and Jamie German, who lived in Dunbar and played with the Atlanta Falcons, as well as the Cleveland Browns. Our phone number is 877-GCU-TALK. That's 877-428-8255. Comment on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. Email us at GulfCoastLive@WGCU.org or live tweet using the hashtag GulfCoastLive. So, David, I know that you've been a writer in the area for a while. How did this all come together? When did you see that you maybe had a book here?
Well, between 2006 and 2008, I was covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And at that time, we had three local players that grew up in the Dunbar community all playing on the Buccaneers at the same time. And that was Greg Spiros, defensive end, Philip Buchanan, a cornerback, and Ernest Graham, the running back. And so at that time, I started looking into more of their backgrounds, and a lot of these guys I covered in high school football, too. So it was a really neat time for me to see young men that I had covered in high school football make it to the NFL. But I noticed those three right there, along with the many others that I put in the Fourth Down in Dunbar, all had came from low-income families. Many of them had parents or relatives that were incarcerated for drug offenses, but they were all able to overcome all these challenges and obstacles and make it to the big time. And those were the early seeds that were planted for Fourth Down in Dunbar.
And how did the various players, what schools did they end up going to? Were they all going to the same school, or how did they end up on their respective teams?
That's a great question. And I have a map in the one of the earlier pages of the Fourth Adam Dunbar book, I have a map of the Dunbar community. What the map doesn't include is after 1969, the schools were integrated, and so the old Dunbar High School, which was the all-black high school, closed. And what they did was they took the community of Dunbar and divided it like into a pie. And like, you know, Jamie grew up in the old projects, that was the feeder area for Fort Myers High School. But if Jamie had lived, you know, maybe less than a mile north, he might have ended up being a North Fort Myers Red Knight, right, Jamie?
Right, or Riverdale, exactly. They separated everybody. And then when they put the schools, Manor and Cape Coral out there, they actually shift kids out that way. And that's how Ernest Graham ended up going to Manor.
And had Ernest Graham stayed in Michigan Court, he would have gone
right
to Estero. So
exactly.
And then there used to be some shenanigans going on, like, you know, people redrawing the neighborhood line. If Jamie German was going up, maybe the line might shift a block or two east, right, Jamie?
Well, that's what they say. I don't know the details of all of that.
Can neither confirm nor deny.
Exactly. Don't put me on that one, Dave.
So one of the other themes that comes up is, you know, drugs often come up in your book. And whether they limited a player who was involved in a past crime before focusing on football or, you know, being dealt on the street. Tell me about the dynamics between dealers and some of these rising football players.
That's a better question for Jamie, because Jamie can tell you that, you know, he might have had the poster of Deion Sanders on his bedroom wall, but at the same time, some of the pushers are out there driving really nice cars and wearing really nice things. Right, Jamie?
Precisely. It's a product of your environment sometimes. And the crazy thing about that is, once my mom and dad separated when I was 10 or 12, I got to a point where I was rebellious with my brother. So we're experimenting, seeing some of the kids out there, the drug dealers, and like Dave said, with the nice cars and whatnot, and try to dabble in that stuff too. So that's where you can get stirred off, because of the temptation, because it's right there when you walk out the door. And when you don't have a strong foundation, when you got time and get loose or whatnot, and be able to go around and see that, sometimes you're double and diving that. And we got some of the greatest players that haven't made it because of the drugs or the crimes and things like that, that we could mention for days, that didn't actually make it to the league because of the temptation of that. And it's just some of us was fortunate enough to get started in the right way and make the right decision and be able to get out of it.
And what happened, you know, to you personally, Jamie, that transitioned you and led you on this path?
My dad actually, I think the crack epidemic hit big, and my dad started using drugs, the crack, and that broke up my family. And I didn't know anything else but family. And I kind of got distraught and got to a point where I did get rebellious. But after a couple close calls, it sent me in the right direction. I got in trouble. I went to Riverdale High School. Then I ended up getting in trouble there for a big riot with a group of guys against another group of guys, and I got sent to an alternative school. And once I got out of that alternative school, they sent me to Fort Myers High School, and that changed my life completely. That's where my life did a whole 360. And it could have been just me going to a different high school with Coach Sam in a different environment around different people, but that literally changed my life once I got out of the alternative school and went to Fort Myers High School.
And when you went to Fort Myers High School, what did you take out of transitioning from playing ball there to playing at Miami?
Everything. They taught you the concept of making it to the next level. They taught you, but they prepared you to go to school. Like, when I got to Fort Myers High School, it was like family all over again, which I lost when my dad and mom separated. So once I got back into that mold of things, the grades picked up. I passed the SAT my junior year. Coach Sam was like a father figure to me. My mom stayed on me. And then I had to transition over to Miami because they prep you for that at Fort Myers High School, for me anyway.
And something else that comes up a lot is violence in the book.
Right.
And one of the players most affected by this was a string of shootings that involved the Javon Curse family. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that. That's a chapter in the book, how that impacted him and how that shaped him.
Well, Javon himself really didn't have a great idea about it, all the violence in his family history, because a lot of it took place before he was even born. His father was murdered 8 months before Javon Curse was born. But I still think that all these things that happened in the mid-70s shaped who he became. I mean, he grew up in Velasco Village, which even today looks like it might have looked like in 1969. I mean, there's they dry their clothes on clotheslines now, even right now. And God bless them. I mean, I wish we had more economic opportunities for some of the people in Velasco Village. But I think those forces were all shaping Javon Kearse. And when he came of age and as a teenager, he ended up living with his best friend, Cisco Navas. And he was able to leave Velasco Village behind him and create his own identity and really become a man before he was old enough to be a man, really. And I think that him leaving the Dunbar community helped him avoid some of the perils in the neighborhood.
And I can and add on that, Dave, when I was at Miami, I hosted Javon Kearse. He came up on a recruiting trip. And I was his host, where you take the recruit around and show them a good time, and hopefully they sign with the school. And we actually had a great time. We hung out with Warren Sapp, Rohan Marley. At the time, The Rock was at the school with us, you know, Dwayne Johnson. And we had such a great time. It was too good. And I think that Javon was ahead of his time. And he looked at me and said, Miami is not for him. He needed to go somewhere different. And he ended up going to the Florida Gators. So I think he was ahead of his time, and I think it did shape him. And he was mature to be that young.
Do you still ever visit Dunbar, Jamie, or do you go back?
Absolutely. I still got family members that live in the area. So I definitely go back, and it just reminds you of how things used to be and where things at now. And I'm like, Dave, now I wish there was some different changes there for Dunbar, because it's not as bad as it may seem. And there's a lot of great people that live there but don't have a opportunities or things to actually get out of there. But I definitely go back. I visit my family, and I enjoy going over there. And it just makes you appreciate where you're at today.
So I guess the big question is, you know, 24 or close to 24, close to two dozen professional players. What is the secret behind what drew all these players out of Dunbar?
Wow.
It's in the water, Dave.
It's in the water. I mean, there's another book out there called Muck City about Belgrade. You know, at one point, Belgrade had 14 players in the NFL at the same time. Mm-hmm. But as far as Dunbar goes, I think we just go back, right, Jamie, to the strong mothers in the house.
Yes.
And to that those racial dynamics are there. I mean, even to this day, the school, that desegregation law expired, and we went back to Dunbar High today, I think, is 80% African American. It's not far removed from where we were in 1969, and it's just the way the neighborhood is. It's almost like its own community.
Exactly.
Well, I think that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you so much for joining us, David and Jamie. David Dorsey is a sports writer with the Fort Myers News Press. His new book is Fourth Down in Dunbar. It's published by the University Press of Florida. Jamie German grew up in Dunbar and ended up playing professionally for the Atlantic Falcons and Cleveland Browns. More information is online at wgcu.org/Gulf Coast Live. This is WGCU, Fort Myers, 90.1 FM, WMKO, Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida. Thank you to both my producers, Luke Martin and Richard Chinqui. I'm Topher Forges. Have a great afternoon.